You are listening to Holy Words from Holy Cross, the sermon podcast of Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church in Nazareth, Pennsylvania. We hope you find these words a blessing in your daily walk with God. Please visit us on the web at www.holycrossnazareth.org or in person at 696 Johnson Road, Nazareth, Pennsylvania.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art.
Would you join me for a word of prayer? Lord, as your sheep, we come to give, to receive what only you can give. We give you our praise, but you give us the bread from heaven. You give us the words of eternal life. Bless us now as we receive them. The manifold mercies and love of God may be more apparent to us, and our faith rekindled and renewed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Apostle Paul is often called the Apostle of Grace because so much of his letters reflects upon the language of grace and what God's grace means for us. But if Paul's the Apostle of Grace, then John is the Apostle of Love. John's gospel, but especially his letters, especially 1 John, reflects at such length about the nature of God's love to help make clear to those who received it. Now, I'm going to talk about them in just a few minutes, but it's there for our edification too. Famously, Greek has four different words for love, so there's ways to make very fine distinctions. We're not going to get into those today. But in English, we tend to use the word love to mean lots and lots of different things. And this can lead to comedy. So this morning we're going to start out with, I know that next month is Mother's Day, but I'm starting off with a little something for the ladies this morning. Do any of you remember the Boys to Men song, I'll Make Love to You, from the 90s? I see smiles and not just a head shaking. Okay. Christian comedian Tim Hawkins talks a little bit about that song and what he did with his, an interaction between him and his wife. Now, I'll just warn you before we start, he's a little hyper. He talks really fast. So you got to kind of listen to him a little bit. Alyssa, would you go to that?
And we were listening to Lila the other night, and she dedicated this love song by Boys to Men. It was a group from the 90s. I love Boys to Men. And they played this song, and I said, my eyes were closed the whole time. I was like, oh, girl. Oh, baby, y'all, this is jam, girl. You gave it to me, girl. And the song was over. I'm like, sweetie, do you like the song? She's like, that's not my favorite. And I said, if you like it, that's not really my favorite. So, and that's good. It's not that poor women. It's what men want to hear. Women don't really hear that stuff at all. I love being time. She doesn't talk like that. That's just my voice for her. Married people, we have voices for one another. Her voice really gets a lot worse. It's an intent that. Okay, I sound like a spawn of the devil. Thanks, sweetie. And that's the thing, it's like men write love songs. Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong about what women want to hear. So they did that, but to name my love song, it's my one. Something I can enjoy, you know? It's like a married woman with kids. I mean, we have to, you know, we like hearing love on tune. It's something that we understand. There's somebody, somewhere, some way, somehow, needs to write a song about that, about what love means to people like us. Love sounds when it really can't make you write that. Someone needs to write that. So I did.
Left our home. Girl, we're finally home.
So love can mean a lot of things. We all know that when a guy says "I love you" to a girl, it could be very innocent. My son will sometimes say that kind of thing. He's like, "Oh, I love her. She's great." And what he means is that he just loves that. He's not romantically interested. He just likes what she adds to the mix when she's part of the group. Sometimes when you say "I love you," it means I admire you deeply. Something about you means that I want to be more like you in some way. Sometimes, obviously, guys say "I love you" just to try and get access to a girl. But sometimes, the best times, a guy saying "I love you," or anyone saying "I love you," means "I would die for you. You mean so much to me, I'd sacrifice my life for you." And that's the kind of love that John is talking about in today's reading. The love that sacrifices itself for the sake of the beloved, agape in Greek. And as we had one of the couples here recently that I was doing premarital counseling for in the early service, and I always say this to the guys at some point in the service, or in the premarital counseling, I'll say, "You know what? I said, I'm sure that you would run into a burning building for your future wife, but will you give up the remote control on game day?" That's another kind of sacrifice. It's a smaller one, but it's the same kind of thing. We're called to that kind of love. And the reason why John reflects on this at such length, and I mean at length, that's a long letter full of love, 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 is because the people to whom he was addressing it, their church was being torn apart by some false teachers. Now, these teachers had all the spit and polish. They sounded very erudite. They sounded like they had a very sophisticated spiritual understanding of the Word of God. But a couple of things. They denied that in Jesus Christ, God had become a human being, first and foremost. And then, on top of that, they were arrogant. They were haughty. And they claimed that they were so good at this God stuff, they had moved beyond the possibility of sinning. Guess where that puts the rest of us who haven't managed that just yet? Looking admiringly up at them and makes their authority untouchable. And John writes this letter to help the church understand that what we've learned most of in the person of Jesus Christ and all of this stuff that you see going around in the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord is that the very nature of God is love. And that self-sacrificing love that Jesus referred to on the night before he was betrayed when he said to them, "I came not to be served, but to serve." This is who God is in Jesus Christ. And his followers will want to be just like that too. Just by their proximity to the Good Shepherd, who has sacrificed everything for their sake, they will want to become more and more like him. Next month is not just Mother's Day, it's Memorial Day. Why are we drawn to those and want to honor those who've sacrificed everything for the sake of others? People for whom they might have had no other connection. They didn't love them as a spouse. They didn't love them as a child. They didn't even love them as a friend. They just loved them as another human being. And the ideals for which they stood to protect people they would never, ever know or meet, they were willing to have the last full measure of devotion and sacrifice themselves. We're drawn to that because we're made in God's image, and that's who God is. And as we seek to be more and more like Him, it's not that we're never going to sin. And this is where it took me a little while to understand this from John's letter. John is saying, yes, sin is a bad thing, but you're never going to avoid sin perfectly. What a follower of Jesus Christ seeks to do is avoid sin persistently, to keep after it, to keep improving, to avoid the circumstances for sin. And when we fail, to learn from that failure, seek God's forgiveness, and continue to move on. We do all of that, so we can be more and more like our great good shepherd. Because everything He does for us is out of His love for us. He takes us to those good pastures. He fills our cup to overflowing, as we say in the psalm. But He also disciplines us. He'll hobble us to keep us from running out where the wolves are. He'll bind up our wounds when we've been injured by sin, our own or somebody else's. And He'll carry us, when need be, back to the flock when we strayed. See, the truth is, if we seek earnestly to not play it safe, but to be more and more like Jesus Christ, you're going to fail. Michael and I were talking about this before service in a totally unrelated conversation. If you're not willing to fail, you won't do much in this life. But as you fail, here's the good news. Not only will He feed you, not only will He bind up your wounds, not only will He protect you from the wolves, He'll clean up for you. And for me too. Would you join me for a word of prayer? Oh, great good shepherd, we, your sheep, thank you for all that you have done for us, sacrificing all the prerogatives of divinity to bear our weakness, to atone for our sins. Lord, we admire those who are like you. Help us to do more than admire, but to be more like you. Grant us the courage to try greatly for you. When we fail, to turn to you for forgiveness and to step out in faith again, empowered by your grace. Help us to show your love to everyone around us, that seeing our deeds, they may want to hear our witness, which is your story. We ask it in the precious name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.
Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me save that Thou art. Be Thou my best art in the day and the night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light.